I'd like to read, beginning at chapter 12, verse 13, and through chapter 13 this morning. I want to give a context of what's going on as John is seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ. And really that is what the book of Revelation means. It's not John's revelation, but rather it's Jesus is being revealed. He's being revealed about what His plan has been from the beginning before He created the foundations of the world. He had a plan. And the triune God, it says the Apostle Paul tells us, got together before the foundations of the world and determined that the second person of the Trinity, the Son, would come to earth and take on Him the sins of the world. This is before man had been created, but God, knowing all things, knew that when man would be given a will to choose, man would choose wrong. But God loved His creation. His creation was good. Man was created in His image, and God desired out of the depth of His love to redeem man back, even though you and I had chose to rebel against a holy and righteous God that had given us life itself. Now, as we see that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ and showing what the events are going on, the things that are happening today, I want you to understand one thing. My wife and I were talking last night, and you can get very discouraged when you look at the news. You can get discouraged when you look at all the things that are happening. You can get discouraged when you hear what the current government has got in store for us. You can get discouraged when you look across the border and see what's happening in Canada, which used to be a country that we would visit and was very, very similar to the U.S. And yet today their freedoms have been eroded substantially. And as I mentioned, that you pray for them, there are churches that are being burned in Canada. There are pastors that have been put in prison in Canada. And they're supposed to have freedom of worship as we have here, but it's being ignored. But we are not to be discouraged. God knew all of this before it happened. And how do we know that? We're studying in the book of Revelation, and you're looking at the events that we've been studying. We're seeing the groundwork for these events being laid in which the day in which we live. And you and I should be encouraged, not discouraged, because God is in control. God is more powerful than Satan. God is more powerful than any leader in this world. He's more powerful than the billionaire committee that's trying to do all of this nonsense to the world and take away everyone's freedoms. God is in control and God is the one on the throne. And the Bible tells us that Satan is warring against God. And guess what? God has left us here on earth to be those who would be light and salt for Him who can stand against an enemy that desires to consume and destroy all of mankind. You and I have been called to be the light and salt, to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to reveal to those people, and I want to tell you, in our nation today, the vast majority of people do not know anything about Jesus except that He's a swear word. They do not know the gospel. They do not know the Bible, especially if you get to people that are under probably 40, 30 for sure, because most of them have been taught in the public schools and in the colleges that God doesn't exist, that we've just been evolved from primordial slime, and that you and I are nothing but evolving, and then they're being taught in what religion they get, that somehow we can evolve into godhood, the very lies that Satan presented to Adam and Eve that caused them to fall. And yet this is what's being presented to our young people today, and they do not know Jesus Christ. And they need to know their Creator, they need to know their Redeemer, and they need to know the One who sustains them and gives them life itself. So we've been left here with a purpose, and that purpose is to proclaim the truth. And that you and I go out and live our lives in a manner that people can see what's different about them. Why aren't they afraid when they listen to the news? Why aren't they afraid and when they hear about a virus? Why aren't they afraid when they hear about these things? Because we have a God who's greater than anything that's going on. Now, I want you to read, we're going to read these chapters because this speaks of the war that begins on heaven. The war that begins on earth, rather. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the fact that there was a great war in heaven, and this came during the last days, during the last the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and it came at the midpoint of this, as Satan right now still has access to the throne of God. God still allows Satan into heaven, and one of the purposes is that Satan goes up there and he's the accuser of the brethren, he's the accuser of the saints. He goes and he accuses you and I daily about of the fact that you and I, well, they fell today, they sinned today, how can they be your child? How can you say that they're redeemed? Look at them. What makes them so different than me? Why are you saying that I've got a problem when they've got a problem? And then we've got our defense attorney, Jesus Christ, that stands there before the Father saying, they are mine. They're covered by my blood. Look at them. Do you see their sin? And God looks at us, the Father looks at us, and He sees no sin because He sees the blood of His Son. He sees the righteousness of His Son. He sees His righteousness that's been given to us and propitiated to us, and so that you and I stand before the Lord. Even if we've sinned, we stand before Him clean and righteous. John tells us, confess your sins because He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, we know and studied last week that during the midpoint of the tribulation, there's a war in heaven. And Satan and the third of the fallen angels that fell with him were cast from heaven. They will have no more access to heaven at the midpoint of the tribulation, the last week of Daniel, the last 7 years of earth. When Satan's cast to earth, he is very angry because he knows his time is short. He knows he's not going to win this battle. He's got the whole world and its philosophies deceived into thinking that he is. But he's not, because God's the God who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this is the point we're at, and we're being introduced to the unholy Trinity this morning. The unholy Trinity. Satan desires to copy everything that God does, because he wants to be God. So God has the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Three persons, one God. Satan creates his own unholy Trinity. He comes and he says, I will be God. I, Satan, will be the Most High. And I'll have my man that I possess. And the Scriptures refer to him as the Antichrist. And then as the Holy Spirit of God reveals Jesus to the world, the Spirit of God convicts men they should follow Jesus, Satan establishes his guy that's going to introduce the Antichrist to the world and tell people they need to follow the Antichrist. And if you don't follow him. And as we look at this passage this morning, when we read it, I want you to see how many times you see the word power in this passage. Does God call us by power? Does He force us to believe Him? Does He come to men and say, you need to turn to me? No. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to the earth meek and mild. He came to the earth humble. He humbled Himself. He who was without sin became sin for mankind. He who had created the universe came to His creation to redeem it. He who sits in the throne in heaven today came to earth and humbled Himself and became a man. He did not come in power. When He entered Jerusalem, He came seated upon a donkey. The symbol of peace. If a king came on a donkey, he wasn't coming to conquer your land by force. But he was coming to show forth his love and compassion. Jesus drew every one of you that's sitting here today that know him, not by force, but by love and by compassion. What you're going to see in the text we're going to read is Satan works by power, by force. I'll make them do it. What are you hearing in the world today? I heard this deal that now they want to send people around and door-to-door vaccinating. What? By force. They're going to make it. You didn't have... They're going to force you. What's that? What spirit is that? It's not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of Satan. Let's take a look here. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And that, remember, that is the nation of Israel. And he persecuted her because Jesus came out of Israel. And to the woman were given two wings and the great eagle that she might fly onto the wilderness, onto her place. And there she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That is, it's 3.5 years is what that comes out to be, which is one half of the tribulation. It's the last half of the tribulation, which is referred to as Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. From the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried of the flood, carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, and the dragon cast out of her, out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is Satan. This is Satan's part. He's down. He's been cast from heaven down to the earth. He's angry, and he's going to persecute anyone who follows God. Now we've seen persecution in the past, and if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know that people have been put to death for their faith throughout the ages. But it's not going to be anything like the persecution that's going to come in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Satan is so angry, he's going to come against anyone who loves God. There will be those who have come to faith during the tribulation, both Jews and Gentiles. The Scriptures tell us that. And we see that that you come to faith and you will be martyred for your faith. You'll be put to death for your faith. But do we have to fear? No, because the Apostle Paul, when he was facing execution before the throne of Nero, said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "I don't know. I'm between a hard place, because," he said, "I know I need to live to be here to help you, to instruct you, and to teach you. But to die, I want to be with my Lord." And if you've ever seen a Christian that's gone to be with the Lord, you know that there is joy in going to be with Christ. You don't have to fear death. You do not have to fear death. And so, but Satan is going to try and wipe out anyone who loves God. And then we come to chapter 13, where he introduces the other two parts of the unholy Trinity. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and his heads the name of blasphemy." Now I want you to know that if you're looking at this beast that's rising up, where have we seen this beast before? If you go back when we studied Daniel on Sunday afternoons, we saw similar beasts happening, similar things happening, beasts arising. And we saw similar things referred to. Earlier in the book of Revelation we saw this. And this is the symbol of the Antichrist and his kingdom. His kingdom has been with this world the whole time. And this morning in the adult Sunday school class, we were studying the table of the nations, and we saw that Nimrod had started in the land of Shinar these ungodly kingdoms, and he was of the descent from Ham. And we also saw that many of the other children of Ham had ungodly attitudes, and their nations became ungodly nations as well. Why? Because they were rebelling against the holy and righteous God. Now, if you look at the heart of what Nimrod was teaching, that very same teaching could be found in every one of the kingdoms that are seen in Daniel. In the Babylonian kingdom, it came out of the tower. It was a remnant of Nimrod's kingdom at the Tower of Babel. And out of the Babylonian, after the Babylonian kingdom, came the Medes and the Persians, which held to the same belief, the same basic belief structure when it came to viewing who God was and who they were. And then following them came the Greeks. And the Greeks had the same, they had a pagan religion system that was based, making really men into gods, supernatural gods, and really worshiping demons. And then out of that came the Romans. And we see that this is the remnants of that whole system, and it flows from it, and it's got this, all these heads with all these crowns because it's the same system. And this man is the culmination of that system. He is the one that has come to be the epitome of it, to be the final authority of that kingdom that has manifested itself throughout the history of the world in various nations and kingdoms. And as we see here, it says that that his name is blasphemy. It's interesting. His whole character is one of blasphemy. And blasphemy means much more than I hate God. Blasphemy means I come and speak against everything that God stands for, and I desire to call it wicked, that which is good. That is blasphemy. That's what made God so angry with Israel, because they would call that which was good evil and evil good. And he said, when you got to that point, your judgment is coming, because that's blasphemy to the extent that I cannot ignore it anymore. And the world is getting there very quickly. His name is that, and this is the individual. He is a real person that's going to rule and reign in this world. I believe this individual is alive right now, but the Bible doesn't tell us his name. It doesn't tell us who he will be. It tells us his character and how he's going to reign and things he's going to do. There's been church pastors that have tried to figure out who the Antichrist is, and they've said it's Hitler or it's this person. Satan's always had his man. Satan, throughout the ages, men live and die, but Satan has always had his man that he could use if the time was the time. And I don't know who that man is today, but he's alive. And all the events that are transpiring in the world should make us excited, because this man is shortly going to be introduced to the world and make a treaty with Israel to start the last 7 years. Well, blasphemy is the name that's written upon the head of this kingdom and upon this man. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his, and I want you to see the first time, power. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, what does Satan have authority over? Satan has authority over this world system. Satan has authority over the kingdoms of this world. And he gives to the Antichrist, to this beast, he gives him his authority to rule this system. And we're going to see what is going to happen with that. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, what did Jesus do when he came to earth? He died on the cross, he went to the tomb, and after 3 days he rose again from the dead. What did the Lord do when he sent the two witnesses which came at the midpoint of the tribulation, which we looked at a few chapters earlier, and he gave them supernatural protection where the Antichrist could not touch them, this world system could not touch them or harm them, until God said, now's the time. And then they were able to kill them. And the two witnesses, remember, they let them lay out on the street for 3 days. And they were celebrating. It was like Christmas. They were exchanging gifts. That's what it says in the scriptures. The people will exchange gifts when that happens, because they'll be so happy. But what did the Lord do? At the end of the third day, he rose those two witnesses up and he called them to heaven. And the world stood in fear and wonder. And the word wonder is not, wow, that was great. No, it's what just happened. And the thing is, Satan's going to say, well, I need to get the people to follow me. And so what happens is, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's been different things that they've said would happen. But this man, the Antichrist, is going to be wounded mortally, or at least it's going to appear that way. Now, there's various things with artificial intelligence and holograms and all kinds of things that are talked about that could possibly occur. I think that God's going to allow Satan to cause this man to rise up from the dead. Because why will the Lord do that? Because the world wants to follow somebody but God. And God said, you want to be deceived? I'll allow you to be deceived. I will make the deception so great that you'll say, it's got to be real. Because you do not want to know the truth. You know, you look at people today and you say, why don't people want to know the truth? You know, you put out the truth. I've shared with you before, I had a nephew, he died of alcohol. He died of pancreatitis brought on by drinking a lot of beer. And he was 30 years old. And guess what? You listen to the alcohol commercials on the radio, and what do they make it sound like? It's a great thing to do. All the young people should go out and you have a great time. Drink beer. It won't hurt you. Killed my nephew. But if you tell people and go up to people, you know that if you drink too much, you could die of pancreatitis. You could die as a young person of pancreatitis. And it's not a pleasant way to die. He bled out in front of his mom. But people don't want to believe the truth. Well, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. I was listening. And people are so ensnared with sin and so blinded to truth. A person came from Colorado and they said, oh wow, you live in Colorado. You know what they got in Colorado? Recreational marijuana. He is all excited. Wow, you get to live in Colorado. Oh, marijuana won't harm you. I went to a safety meeting for my work. There's a policeman there from the Drug Task Force in Grand Forks in charge of it. Went up after him. I said, is marijuana a problem in the condition of the drugs? He says, it's a gateway to all other drugs. This is the guy who deals with drugs every day. But you go and you tell that to somebody, oh, no, 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 no. Marijuana isn't a gateway to any drug. No. And then they fail to tell you that the marijuana that kids were smoking when I was in high school was totally different from the marijuana kids are smoking today. This is, I don't know how many times more powerful in its hallucinogen characteristics, in its TCH. But they don't want to believe the truth. They believe lies. You go out and have all kinds of sex with everybody, guess what? You will probably catch a disease and it will kill you prematurely. Oh no, not me, not me. It won't happen to me. That's the world at the time of Satan. That's the world when the Antichrist is going to be introduced. They've just seen the witnesses raised from the dead, and Satan says, well, what do I got to do? In order to get them to follow me and follow my delusions and deceptions and continue down the delusionary path, the Antichrist is going to appear to die. He may die. I don't know, but there's going to be the appearance of resurrection. I don't know exactly what God's going to allow. God has to allow this to happen. Because Satan cannot do anything unless God allows it. And he's allowing this to happen. And the reason he's allowing it to happen is because the world is so deluded in wanting to rebel against God and believe anything but what God teaches. And so he allows it to happen. So by this power that Satan possesses, he gives this to the Antichrist, and then the world sees that he is put to death, but then he's healed and he comes back to life. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave what? Power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Okay? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Okay? He's not speaking truth. He's speaking great things that are lies. But it sounds so good. And blasphemies. And there's that word again. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So he was given the power by Satan, allowed by God to continue for 3.5 years because the people wanted to be deceived. They wanted deception. And he opened his mouth. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So this man has power over the whole earth. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He's saying, God has revealed this is what's going to happen in the last days. Great deception, the world, the majority, following after a man, putting their trust in a man who's got this power. You listen today, what do people want? They want power. I listened to an interview that was where a gentleman who is still in the Atlanta Braves, Ted Turner, billionaire. And they were interviewing him and they said, when is enough money enough? And Ted Turner said, when I've got one more dollar. Okay? That was his response to that question. The next question that was asked him, is there anything you want besides, you've got all this money, is there anything you want? He says, power. I want power. I want to be able to do what I want to do and control what I want to control. I want people to have to do what I say. I want power. This is what this guy's, he's power driven. And the world follows him because they want power. People today, if you really understand what it means to follow Jesus, and that's why I'm so concerned about a lot of young people in the church, because the churches have been influenced by the world. What does it mean when you say, I really need a platform? I talk to kids and a lot of them want to be singers. And they want a platform. What is a platform? It's a different word for power. I want to influence. I want to. Hear the words? I want to. Not, Lord, what do you want me to do? Moses, who in the Old Testament, I believe, was the most powerful believer, an example of the most powerful believer there was, stood up to the kingdoms of this world, stood nose to nose with them. What it says about him? He's the most humble man that's ever lived, apart from the Lord. Where did God teach him before he gave him a platform? You see, God had him in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was going to the best schools, being trained by the greatest instructors of his day in how to be a powerful leader. Many Bible scholars even think that he could be being trained to be the next Pharaoh. Power! You read about the pharaohs of Egypt. One of the things they had was power. You didn't mess with a pharaoh. Yet God took Moses from that platform and stuck him on the platform that he needed him on, where he really needed to learn. In the eyes of the world, it was a platform that had no power. You see, he went and became a sheep herder on the backside of the desert, helping his father-in-law and his wife and her sisters and their husbands tend to sheep. And sheep can be dumb animals. You have to train them. And it takes a lot of work. You have to spend time with them. A good shepherd will go out and he'll be with his sheep more than with his family. Go to Israel today where they still have Bedouin shepherds. The sheep will follow them and they'll respond to their commands. Why? Because they're always with the shepherd. And Moses was learning how to be the most powerful leader in God's kingdom at that time, tending sheep. I think there's a whole lot of Christians that need to learn how to tend sheep instead of seek big platforms. Satan wants power. The Antichrist, power! God says, come in my spirit. So we see that this man, and it was given unto him to make war against the saints, and the saints are overcome, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the most important thing. Where's your name? Is your name written in the book of life, or is your name written just in the book of your works? Because your works manifest your power. The book of life reveals God's power. A transforming power. Something that can't be found in your power. So where's your name written? And that's what will be revealed in the last days. And he tells us, take heed. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What's that about? I believe it's speaking about the fact that you got this guy who's running around and I've got power. I'm going to put you in captivity. Until you get your act right. Heard that before? It happened in Germany. Anybody who stood against Adolf Hitler was put in a concentration camp. And if he didn't like your genealogy, you were put in a concentration camp. If he didn't like your religious beliefs, you were put in a concentration camp. Some people it was for re-education. Most people it was to be put to death because he just didn't like it. And really he was being driven by Satan. Put into captivity. The enemies of God have always put the people of God into captivity. Isn't that what happened to Israel? Of course, Israel brought it upon themselves by their rebellion. I believe what's happening in the United States right now has been brought upon us by our rebellion as Christians. We want platforms and power instead of the Spirit of God. But we see that we could experience some of these things in our life. You see, when I was growing up, I thought, well, that's way in the future. It never happened. I'll never see it in my lifetime. And I'm going, last year, 2020, I'm going, wow. Did I see how fast the world just, whoop, gave into power? And it wasn't even real power. At that time, they didn't start out really threatening. Threats came later. In Canada, they're really threatening right now. I believe that Canada is a test ground. How are Christians going to respond? Are we going to cave in? Or are we going to believe in God? And so he tells us here, those who lead into captivity shall be led into captivity. Those who kill by the sword shall be put to death by the sword. I believe God's a just God. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. But he also says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Do you have patience? Do you have faith? Or do you just see power manifesting itself all around and don't realize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has the real power? Do you have faith and do you have patience? I'm not going to get to the second one this morning of the false prophet. We'll look at that next week. But it's very interesting as you look at these verses and look at the events that are going to transpire. This could be in the not too distant future. The one thing that has to occur before all this last 7 years goes in, the Antichrist is introduced to the world as the great peacemaker in Israel, the rapture of the church. Are you prepared? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you have faith? Do you have patience? So often, I want action. And I don't have patience. God tells me I need to put the line. Moses, and I'll close with this. Moses, you know how he started out his ministry? Wrong. Trying to do it his way, with power. Remember, he killed the Egyptian that was beating the Jews. And he thought all the Jews would just follow him because, look, I stood up for you. I defended you. I killed your persecutor. Instead, Moses ends up running in fear because Pharaoh's out to find out who killed my soldier. And I heard it's Moses. He tried it the world's way and failed miserably. But Moses had patience. 40 years worth of patience. And when he came back in power and authority that was God's, not his. And when he spoke to Pharaoh, he was speaking with the authority of God's Spirit, not by his Spirit. And when he said, "Let my people go," he wasn't standing threatening to kill the soldier. He was saying, "The God of heaven is going to judge you if you don't let his people go." Totally different. So do you seek power or do you come in patience and faith that God's got his plan? And as much as we get attached to things in this world, the world to come is beyond our comprehension. And the things that are transpiring right now are so that the wicked and evil and sinful things that are in rebellion against God can finally be dealt with once and for all. Those who've led captive will be put into captivity. Those who've killed by the sword shall be put to death by the sword. Judgment. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't seek the power of this world, but rather we would seek the power of your Spirit. And we walk in faith and patience according to your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, turn to hymn 425.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak.